You're listening to the Life in Deep Ellum podcast, exploring the sacred in art, faith, and community. Thanks for being here.
So I grew up in Oklahoma, and when I was a kid, elementary school, middle school, I always seemed to be the one in all of our class plays or history reenactments. I was always the one that played the Indian. Now, I have a little bit of Native American in me, but I'm mostly darker because I'm quarter Japanese, and I just happen to grow up in a very, very white community. I can remember being in a debate in middle school, and like someone played Leif Erikson, the Vikings, and someone played Christopher Columbus, and it was a debate about who discovered America, and I was the Indian. They somehow found this gigantic headdress for me to wear in the debate, and I got my picture in the paper. Another time, I was a part of this big competition called History Day, and I played Sequoia, the Cherokee who invented the alphabet. So I have some pretty kind of intimate relationships with the Thanksgiving story. Like, as I understood it, the pilgrims, the colonists, they came on the Mayflower, they encountered a tribe of Native Americans, specifically the Wampanoags, and then in 1621, they shared an autumn feast that is supposed to be the first Thanksgiving, right? This wonderful, opulent meal together. But, you know, why is Thanksgiving a national holiday? Have you ever wondered that? Why is this on our calendar as a national holiday? Well, enter Sarah Josepha Hale. She's an author and composer of the famous nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb. And she, for whatever reason, was a big fan of the idea of Thanksgiving being a national holiday. She campaigned for like 36 years to make Thanksgiving a national holiday. And finally, in 1863, President Lincoln declared Thanksgiving a national holiday. This was at the height of the Civil War. It was an obvious attempt to, quote unquote, heal the wounds of the nation. And herein lies the problem. We, as a nation, have tried to heal our wounds through efforts like these, which I would call efforts of denial, minimizing, and half-truths. Have these wounds been healed? Are we not still divided? Historian David Silverman talks explicitly about the Wampanoag people, right, in his book, This Land is Their Land. He seems most frustrated by what he calls the myth of Thanksgiving, this idea that some unidentified tribe of friendly Indians welcome pilgrims to America, teach them to live in this new land, sit down to a great feast, and then quietly disappear back into the woods. Basically, these Native Americans who have occupied the land for thousands of years acquiesced their property willingly to the white Europeans so that they could build this great nation devoted to liberty, opportunity, and Judeo-Christian ethics. Manifest destiny. You know, a bloodless transition that makes us all feel good about our histories, makes us all feel good about ourselves. But I think we all know that it's not that simple, right? We've seen Pocahontas. We've seen Dances with Wolves. There was tension and violence, right?
And own the earth, and still all you'll own is earth until you can paint with all the colors of the wind.
The truth is, the Mayflower colonists were hardly the first encounter the Wampanoag people had with English-speaking people, because by historical records, there was at least two Wampanoags that were on that boat who spoke English. What? How is that even possible? Well, how about this? The Wampanoag people had been in conflict with the English for almost a century. Raids, bloody wars, where young children were kidnapped and enslaved. Now, these young children could be properly owned and instructed in the way of England, including speaking their language. You know, was there a great feast? Yeah, most likely. but the motives were complicated. The Wampanoag chief saw an opportunity for a political alliance, right? He was fighting to keep his people alive and survive. They were fighting against plagues. They were fighting against other tribes, and this seemed like a smart move. But over time, the colonists took more and more land, more and more freedoms of power, and enemy tribes all saw the writing on the wall, and they seemed to start like making alliances with each other in order to rid their land of this infestation of colonists. And this led to one of the most horrific colonial Indian wars on record, King Philip's War is what it's known as. And historian David Silverman said in an interview that this is the story we should be teaching our kids. They should be learning about why Native people reached that point, rather than this nonsense that Native people willingly handed off their country to the invaders. It does damage to how our Native countrymen and women feel as part of this country. It makes white Americans a lot less reflective about where their privilege comes from. You know, I agree with that. We can't heal our wounds if we don't acknowledge what the wounds are. You know, as noble as President Lincoln's intentions might have been, national holidays with sanitized stories that gloss over violence and dehumanizing of people, that won't accomplish much other than blinding us to what happened and perpetuating the actual problem. I see this with like the rebel flag. Like supporters of the flag will speak proudly of the cultural history it represents. But my question would be, which history are you talking about? A sanitized version? Or one that includes horror and dehumanizing of people? Listen, I'm pragmatic too. Like, I love Thanksgiving as it exists in my life. Family getting together, eating a huge meal, and watching football. I'm just trying to remember what the actual history is, you know? I'm trying to remember that the Wampanoag people don't actually have gratitude for this national holiday. They have sadness. You know, Wampanoag adults have memories of being kids in school during Thanksgiving season, feeling invisible, and having to wade through all the narratives that the teachers were shoveling their way. So for me, this doesn't mean I boycott or cancel Thanksgiving, right? It just means I include the real story, the hard history, in my understanding. I'm not thankful for a false story of friendly Indians peacefully conceding to colonialism. I'm thankful that those bloody days are over, and that there seems to be enough people to link arms with nowadays to start changing the narrative. There was no manifest destiny. There was only power. You know, Christianity didn't only bring over love. It did, but it also brought over death and destruction in their experiences. Illustrated by the stories of militant missionaries marching Indians through a river to baptize them and shooting them on the other side. You know, that way they die as Christians. It's a sad story, guys, yeah. But if we are to heal the wounds of our nation, we're going to have to name the wounds. And maybe there's some Thanksgiving in that.